Oh, sure.
Oh, it's recording. All right. Go ahead and get started. So nothing for first reading, nothing new, just all second reading. I'm going to go ahead and I guess let Bobby walk us through.
Oh, great.
Is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm sure there's only two we're going to have.
Yeah, the first one is going to be the conflict of interest for board members. Mm-hmm. Basically, what we've done here is we've separated the conflict of interest and the ethics policy. They were, I guess, lumped into one.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we just
and nothing has changed
the
between
court's
the
ethics
first
policy.
And second.
Yeah. Nope, nothing has changed.
So, any questions on those? Those first two. They haven't changed at all between first and second reading.
Okay.
So we discussed it a lot at the last meeting.
Yes,
we all
did.
Good on those two?
Yeah, I think so. Okay.
So then I think we can just jump ahead to library materials. Okay.
Okay. What you've got here is your policy on reviewing library materials. The only changes that have really happened since through this policy has been the removal from of you all on page 2, number 7. Instead of providing the recommendation to the principal, superintendent, and to the board, it's now to the superintendent, and then they'll provide the recommendation to the board. So there's an extra step there. Mm-hmm. It'll go to the superintendent and then on to you all. And number 10 is obviously the one that's garnered some discussion. It's a requirement that once a vote has been taken by the board, that written notification, regardless of the vote, will be sent out. It's pretty self-explanatory.
I think, Dan, is this the one you wanted to ask the questions on?
Yeah, number 10. After, mm-hmm. Let me see, maybe it's been upgraded here. Has it been updated?
Upgraded.
Okay, so maybe Sheila can speak to it since she wrote it.
Yeah. So basically, the library materials policy, with the exception of those minor changes, is what we've already voted on in the past. Okay, so now we're moving forward. And number 10, basically what we're saying is it still goes through the reconsideration committee. The reconsideration committee makes a recommendation whether to remain on the shelf or to pull it from the shelf. Regardless of that decision, then it comes to the board for a vote. And whether the vote of the board, the wishes of the board is to remove them or remain on the shelf, number 10 takes an effect. So regardless, number 10 is just the added part of it. So I know you were asking about, let's see. So like number 9, you were saying if it is determined that the material is not appropriate for the age or maturity levels of the students who have access and is not suitable for and consistent with educational mission of the school, the board shall require the school to remove the materials from the library collection. That could be one of their recommendations. We still have to vote on it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay? So we still have to vote if it's going to be removed or not, or we can say it remains on the shelf. That's when number 10 comes in, regardless of how we vote, whether we remove them from the shelf or whether we keep them on the shelf.
It's going to notify everybody regardless.
It's going to notify everyone regardless of what the vote is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically say we do remove it. I know that's the kind of what you're looking at. Say we do remove it. We still, all across that grade band, we still send out a notification. The board, the reconsideration committee has met. It was recommended to the board. The board voted to remove the books. These are the books that were removed, or a book. And this is what you do. You call the librarian if you want to. Well, it's been removed. So
I'm sorry. Did you finish?
No, go ahead. I'm listening.
I would like to add, because there was, at this has been so much going on, but because Josh Brown put in an amendment we never did vote on it, but the parental approval, so it kind of more of an opt-in. I wonder if we could change the wording and of course we can talk about this at the work session, but should follow to opt his, her child in or out of Because if it gets removed, they can't opt in. But what if it stays and there's a
then they would just have parental approval.
No, it's just still opt out.
The parental approval would only be if down the road that amendment comes back up and we vote to do that. I wouldn't want to amend this to base it off of something that might hypothetically never happen.
Okay.
I've had one thought on it, and maybe it would be a second a number or 10A or something.
10B,
is
10AB.
is that you have the same communication out when the complaint is filed.
I like that.
So you'd say at the beginning and the end, you know, here's the books that are under review, and here's your opt out while it's being reviewed, and here's the committee's vote after the fact. And
I think that's more transparent, and I think
because one of Dan's recurring complaints in this last issue was, why is it taking so long?
Now
that Dan's on the committee, he's not complaining about why it's taking so long.
But
he did point out that it took months to get to a decision.
Kind of like what's happening now.
And so maybe there's some value in communicating, and then you give. It kind of also lets the public know a little bit more what is taking place, I guess, around specific books. I'm thinking it through.
I mean, okay, so the at what point would it be there's a complaint? So maybe once it hits the reconsideration committee. Once it hits that level,
yeah,
because
mm-hmm. right,
because a complaint can pull it before, yeah. but yeah. once
Correct.
It hits committee,
right. that's my thought.
Once we start
once
a committee,
in the process, you have a communication saying these,
are
this literature,
considered.
This curriculum, this book is under review by X committee, and
that gives parents time to really look at.
Well,
yeah.
in that case. Why wait till after the vote?
Well, because I think the situation changes after the vote.
Right.
I still like the communication
you're still
going to
have
after the vote.
Your decision. You're going to have to
right.
provide the
okay.
notice for afterwards.
That's
so.
True. Okay. I mean, does that sound?
I think it sounds great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think the more communication.
And
the
so
better.
Then you have one at the beginning and one at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Right.
I think that's a great idea.
It's not a difficult amendment either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a good one. I like that.
But my whole. Idea about this was to head it off in the beginning rather than continue with reconsideration
mm-hmm.
constantly.
Yeah, because we've had those books on the shelf for, 4 months now? We're just, it's being delayed just because of a lot of technical.
Mm-hmm.
it's just technical. It's what can be, what we can do with it.
Yeah.
I mean, according to the lawyers, no offense, Bobby, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Yeah.
To me, why do you have all these laws and all this stuff and nothing's ever done?
Yeah. So at least we're getting it, our side of it, transparent, just saying, hey, this is what's out there. There's nothing we can really do about it, or we can,
mm-hmm.
depending on, what things down the pike.
That's why I like the idea of, for an older group, age-appropriate group.
But if you have this, you really don't need that.
Because the parents will know.
The parents will know.
And
they can opt out. They'll have a link on how to opt out.
Yeah.
So are we saying, whenever the book is being challenged, right?
Once it's in committee. Once it's actually in committee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they can remove their challenge before it gets to committee.
Right.
So once it's in committee, then the committee makes a decision, and based off that decision, the parents can make a decision on if they want
no,
to.
No, right when it hits
out.
Committee, not even before the decision, once it hits committee.
Okay, once the committee makes a decision, now you're saying
so,
on the back end.
So
side,
two.
We'd send a communication on the front end, and we'd send a communication
the
on the back
once
end.
Our vote
okay.
is, once we vote.
Right. See, if it whenever somebody fills out the paperwork for a reconsideration, at that point, it would go out to all parents.
All parents.
And then
in that band.
That would give them like 6 weeks.
To To review it.
To review the book themselves.
Yeah.
And opt their kid out if they want.
Right.
If they're like, this is a questionable material, they have a link right there to send
it. Because what this is doing is basically putting it in the parents' control, mm-hmm. which parents have said time and time again.
That's what they want.
We want the parent control. It's our decision.
Sure.
And so that way, if they want to read the book or look at the book, they can opt their kids out of being able to access the book.
I like that because the way our policy reads, and from what I understand state law reads, the book has to stay in circulation. Mm-hmm. And so everybody knows this, but the parents now know, okay, this is, there's right. some concern by one parent. We want to be transparent mm-hmm. what we're doing because we're having, you know, and I think I just like the transparency mm-hmm. element.
And if you have a concern about that type of content for your child, here's how you opt them out so they can't
like
check it out.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Let's go.
Yeah. All right.
Next.
We'll tell the others.
I like that. Thank you, guys. That was great.
All right. Dress code.
All right. Last one we have is the dress code. No, not.
Yeah, he's
got medicine after that.
Yeah, that one should be easy, though.
Not many changes since our last policy read on this one. Mm-hmm. We see a couple of changes that we made in a different color there, so you can see. Just adding some additional clarity. This was all based
on these colors.
It was purple online.
Yeah.
It's hard to see on the paper, though.
Shall we have a parent opt out for dress code?
You can look at mine if you need
to. Would be very interesting.
Oh, yeah, yours is really clear.
No. Well, I've got it at home.
It's all about parent.
Line 30.
Oh, maybe we should
have
it.
Oh, yeah, now I can
now.
See it.
Let me just point them out.
Thank you.
Okay, page one. Yeah, okay, line 31.
On number four, we added the word the entire in front of abdomen.
Oh, yeah, then.
So now it reads in such a way that the entire abdomen.
Line 22.
And then we put
these two words.
Breast, chest, and nipples, we put just a backslash put all together. So that's one change on number four.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So line 21, page one.
It's
right?
Line 22. Just the words the entire.
Define abdomen.
Center area of your body.
Okay, so that does that eliminate
the entire abdomen?
Does.
Yeah.
The midriff is what we're attacking there.
And the entire.
Oh, so we're going to cover the belly button?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my God. That was not what I had on my bingo card.
So he wants to opt out of the dress code is what, it, what we're talking
out. I'm
about here.
I'm getting one of them low sweaters.
Well, so actually, I think track uniform. I think track uniforms are up. Am I right?
It
used to be track uniforms used to have have the up above
mm-hmm.
the abdomen.
They had that mesh, yeah.
But there's kids are going to...
But I think
really check about that.
Yeah, they like their midriff to show, but in the feedback from the dress code committee, they felt like that defining it and allowing it, especially since this is a you know, all student dress code, that really the midriff isn't something that needs to be shown during the day. So your shirt meeting right at the line of your pants is would be the minimal expectation.
So
they better just not raise their arms.
Yeah, raising
their arms. This dress code would be only for during the school hours. The very end of the dress code was specified that a principal can add additional clarification on participation in a extracurricular and for the spectators. So this wouldn't apply as written. Academic setting versus extracurricular, two different things.
Is that worded, the language in here, academic setting?
It is. Well,
page two.
Extracurriculars.
Yeah, right here. 24 on the next page.
That's going to be on the second page, on certain line 24.
I see it. Thank you.
And we did make one change. I'll go ahead and point there out. Or attend. Those two words were added. So the principal may regulate the dress and grooming of students who participate in or attend the activity.
Line 26 and 27.
So Lee, I guess. And I'm just being devil's advocate here,
right?
How do we reconcile the fact that so often the school uniforms don't meet dress code? I'll tell you, I always remember going to Van Buren County for volleyball. And that school would wear those girls would wear...
the spandex.
They didn't wear the spandex. They would wear just regular gym, you know, kind of baggy gym shorts to play in, as opposed to the spandex that all of the other schools all year. I always think of that school as...
So with this dress code, that those spandex that you just described, they would fit our dress code as, as shorts. As far as our uniforms for extracurricular, we just defined what's appropriate for an extracurricular activity where you're moving and competing is different than an academic setting, and we just separated the two. And what may be appropriate for running outside in the heat may not be appropriate for an indoor activity where you're learning and engaging in instruction. So we just kind of separated those out. But what you'll see with this dress code is that many more of the things that are appropriate in a extracurricular activity are also now in the realm of possibilities for during the school day too.
So I think the answer for us, and I kind of ask that is not as much for us because that's a favorite question of why,
sure.
You know, you why do you have school uniforms that don't quite meet it? The answer is, to your point, what's appropriate for an athletic event is not necessarily appropriate for for classroom settings.
Yeah, and if I want to choose to stand in the student section where I know that boys may have their shirt off and their chest painted, a girl maybe in a sports bra with her belly painted, if I want to choose to go to that, then that's my option. But I don't have to, that doesn't have to be in, you know, the seat in front of me in my class while I'm, you know, studying and taking a test, as an example. Those are choice activities. So that scene that you see at very popular at our packed student sections, those are still going to be the scenes. This dress code is for academic day.
Thank you.
It's good to have those places for, because they're very different activities.
Different expression, yeah.
I had questions about, and I brought this up in the last policy meeting. I didn't talk about it at the work session. And I really do love the work that y'all have done on the stress code. And I did have a question about on page 2, line 33 and 34. I think let's create like this very positive standard and... I don't want to have any language that's kind of leading, and would it be okay to have in a manner that does not discriminate against any group based on blah, 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 instead of does not reinforce marginalization or oppression of, I just think simpler is better. I'm used to teach English, and I like the simplicity of does not discriminate, very clear, and I don't know if I think y'all got this language from another dress code.
I was looking at that. I don't know, Bobby, if you have an opinion about of ensuring that we're non-discriminatory in the policy or not. But I believe that the specificity here, Dana was reviewing to make sure that we cover everything that needed to be covered.
I do not. Dana was working on that. I've not talked to her about it.
But I can ask her about that piece.
You're meaning the words does not reinforce or increase marginalization or oppression, right?
Right. I think it suggests some things in there that might. I just think let's just keep it really simple, positive, and I think is that language is much more commonly used. We do not discriminate.
Mm-hmm. So it's not the list that starts.
It's not the list. It's what we do. We do not discriminate.
Yeah, gotcha. I understand.
Yeah. So that I would prefer something more simple that everybody knows and it's very clear. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what y'all think. But
one other change was on number 6. We had some feedback that number 6 is on page 1. That would be the line starting at 29. But the language was really confusing. What we were trying to say for that language is that you have to wear shoes to school.
We're still Tennessee, but you wear your shoes.
Wear your shoes.
What shoes would not be appropriate?
So if I'm in a lab, example, if I'm in a science lab, the teacher may say, closed-toe shoes tomorrow, guys. No flip-flops.
Okay.
We don't want acid dropping on your toes and burning them.
No, jeez.
Do they still wear the 5-toe shoes?
Very few people do, but...
Forgot about those.
If you're in a CTE lab, as an example, and you're at shop, you're in the auto mechanics class, or ag, if you're using large equipment, there may be an opportunity for you to have steel-toed shoes. It could be, you know, there could be those kinds of restrictions. Obviously, if you're in the gym, you have to wear gym shoes. If you're on the court, those kinds of things is what we were trying to say by that. So we just simplified the language.
I like it.
That was one earlier.
I have one child who shows up barefoot everywhere.
On number line, let's see.
You added profanity at line
three. We added profanity.
Line three, page two.
Line three, page two.
Yeah.
Yes.
All that nudity and all that stuff that we can go to the library and get, but we can't wear it on our shirts. What's the deal here?
Well, not on our shirts, sir. Not the dress code. So we added that.
Yeah, but the kids can't opt out that.
Don't go there.
They can't opt out.
They can opt out. They can wear the, you know, the other things. I don't know.
All right, let me think here. Let me see if there's anything else. I think I've got, we've talked about the changes. The missing thing, Julie?
And the last line says number seven, the last page, I guess, line six. And it's talking to line five, it says the principal. And so does that mean assistant principal is APs as well?
Or designee.
Or
okay.
Designee.
That's exactly right.
Yep.
And so
often it is.
That's for sure. We talked about the language difference between who's responsible for enforcement in line one versus who the final judgment is in line six. So everyone's responsible on line one of that section of enforcing the dress code. But the principal or his or her designee has the final say if whether it's in compliance.
That's a job in itself.
It is.
Oh, my gosh.
I tell you, I got two in high school, grandkids, and I get all the emails.
Yes.
At least three times a week, the dress code is mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll tell you.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
A thing.
So.
Quick question.
It is.
It's a thing.
But I mean, we've got people that work their tails off on this stuff.
Oh.
You know, hey,
yeah.
Give me the phone. You know, hey, pull that top down.
Compliance with all
go
sorts
home.
Of things, right?
like Willie did back in 1991. She had all the girls dressed the way they should look for school, and then she had them how you don't look for school. Then she had a whole drawer of cell phones, even at that time, little flip phones, and
okay.
She says. Now that was a little later. That was with my son. That was in 99. But she said, now this is the way your child's supposed to come to work. And then she'd say, parents, listen up. If your child comes to school like this, they're going home.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And then she says, I've got $5,000 worth of these phones here. When my son, they belong to me now.
Wow.
Every
I love
year
that
she
woman.
Did that. She did a great job.
She did.
She's bend over, touch your knees. We don't want her to turn around. And the parents are like, oh, parents, I'm calling you. You're coming and getting your child.
Sorry.
So back to uniforms, Elliot. We should. You can put it out there, and I'll second it.
To make all uniforms,
well,
right.
I can tell you from
then
me,
I'll,
Julie has
then I'll open up a uniform store real close to the school system.
As an administrator, just because you have a uniform code of dress, that's what Centennial
oh,
had
yeah,
first got there, doesn't mean that dress code enforcement is any easier.
Oh,
no. It sure is.
Probably
hard. Find a way.
They got stuff you can handle.
I remember parents making the point, though, that the value of a uniform dress, you know, the shirt and the khakis, the value that brought was that parents didn't have to have arguments over what to buy and what not to buy.
Sure.
And brands.
And the brands.
And it makes getting ready
and,
in the morning a lot
and,
easier.
And the fact that,
kids,
you know,
don't have to pick it out and change five times and this isn't right.
Yeah.
A lot of the dress code is
it is easy.
Prepare young people for the workforce.
Sure. Yeah.
You know.
That's an interesting way to look at
it,
for sure.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I would almost be inclined to support a unified dress code if we wanted to be so.
Hey, my kids are out of school, so, you know,
let's go for it.
Well,
Well, this is, I think, a huge step in the right direction.
I used to tell my one daughter, she's kind of big busted. I'd say, hey, put a brooch on. She'd say, what the heck's a brooch?
What's a brooch?
And, Mom, what's he talking about? I said, my grandma used to have, she'd say, Abby, get me a brooch. She'd say, everything's hanging out up here. That's where I got, and I'd tell them, girl, they get you so mad at me.
Oh, my gosh.
I wonder why.
Okay.
All right. Hold on. Any other questions on this?
Yeah. Real quick, so just on page 2, where we're listing 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we left the one at the bottom, 7. I guess that would become 5. Is that just going to become part of the list? Is that?
Yes.
Okay.
There should be a strike around that, the number.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I just was like, is that part of? Okay.
Yes.
Same list. We just kind of wrote them differently.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cool. Okay. So I don't think there were any changes on medicines from first to second reading. Does anyone have any questions on that one? Or are we good on those necessary changes that needed to be made? All right.
We do, like, in situations with, and I was trying to look, the anaphylaxis, with the younger kids, we have, like, a, like, person really monitoring that child.
Oh, yeah. No, elementary school.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's scary.
Mm-hmm. And an EpiPen.
I had a student once that had, and he's just like, going through EpiPen training, and it's like,
all right,
it's important.
Nice.
So how do you all do this? You've made a recommendation, depending on what Dana says about the change in the word discrimination.
I emailed Dana and Jason about that particular question.
Okay, I talked about it last time, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've already taken care of
it. And I can bring that up at work session, if we can.
Sure. I'll let you know what they respond in the email, too.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Wow.
Thanks, everyone.
That's a record time.
Oh, my gosh, a half hour?
Look at that.
Under.
Well done.
We had some good laughs along the way.
We got some family.